Well, we would appreciate your prayers this morning that the Lord would speak to us today, that He would give us His thoughts, and I believe His thoughts are good. Whatever the Lord gives is good stuff this morning. I was thinking about the last verse of Genesis, the first chapter. And it says there, it says, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. You know, everything that God made, He made well. And it says when He got all done at the end of the sixth day, He saw everything that He had made, and that it was very good. That's intriguing, isn't it? That's an awesome thought. And I love to, Genesis, the first chapter, is just so good. it sets the foundation for life. And I think about what we wrote on the board. It says the flesh. I think about our body and what that entails and how that affects us. And, you know, God made that good too, didn't He? He made our body well. I love the eyesight that I have. I wear glasses, and I have since I was a little boy. But I'm glad I can see. And I might not see as well as you do, but I can see real well. I thank God for that this morning. You know, that's a blessing of the Lord. He gave us that. And you know, the Lord has given us all of our senses. He's given us the smell that we have. If I remember right, Brother Leslie couldn't smell. Is that right? You know, I would hate to be without smell. I love that sense. The Lord made that. It's wonderful to smell good food. And you know what else that's wonderful? It's wonderful to smell when something's bad, so you have some idea that it's bad. And you know, He made our ears. And He made them to hear, didn't He? And don't we enjoy the things that we hear? God made that. He developed it. He looked at it. He put that precision into it, and we can hear these songs that we heard this morning. And to me, that's lovely. I enjoy that. I can't tell you how. And I know many of us here do. We enjoy it every time, don't we? Love to hear the songs being sang. And, you know, then we have touch, and what a blessing that is. All those things. And let's see, which one did I miss? Maybe we'll look at it a little more after a while. But I'm thinking taste. Oh, yes, taste. Isn't that a wonderful sense that the Lord made this morning? But Paul, in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, he speaks of the body. And he says here something that I would like for us to take home with us this morning. He said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." You know, now Paul, he knew how wonderful the things of God was. Paul wrote letter after letter telling us about the wonderful works of God. But you know what he said about the body? He said, "I keep under my body." You know what that means? I looked that phrase up in the Greek, and it says here, G5259 and another word, to hit under the eye, buffet, or disable an antagonist as a pugilist or a fighter. That is, figuratively, to tease or annoy into compliance, subdue one's passions, keep under or weary. You know what this word means here is? It means I have to make my body a slave to me, not me being a slave to my body. And that's exactly what he means here. Because he goes on to say, and bring it into subjection. And that phrase, bring into subjection, the words on that is to enslave. Figuratively, subdue or bring into subjection. Do you know that the scripture says that, how does that say that, Ecclesiastes 7, you know, God has made man upright, I believe he says, but man has sought out many inventions, something to that order. Do you know this morning that God made things right? But you know, there are wrong ways to use what God made for right this morning. And I just want to challenge us today that God made us right. He made it wonderful and well and satisfying and all the senses he made for us to delight in and to love. But you know, we can use all those senses for evil as well. And so I want to look at some of that this morning. You remember in the Old Testament, we talked about him not long ago, a fellow named Samson. You remember how he, the scripture says, judged Israel 20 years. And we find Samson as a man that the Spirit of the Lord came on. And in Judges, the 15th chapter, we'll come back to this 1 Corinthians 9. But in Judges, the 15th chapter, remember they took him and they bound him with two new cords. And they brought him up from the rock, and when he came unto Lehi, the Philistine shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands, and he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. You know, the enemy army was upon him to kill him, and the Spirit of the Lord came on Samson. And all those ropes that bound him, they just fell off like burned flax. That's what happened. That was an amazing thing. And then he takes the army on alone. And God gave him victory in that. And then we find him in the 16th chapter, starting at verse 2. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Well, we know that no man could do that on his own. But Samson experienced those things in the Lord. He mightily experienced the working of God in his life. You would think that Samson would bring himself under to the ways of God. You would think that, wouldn't you? But I want to look in the 14th chapter, back a couple, and verse 1. And it says, and I want to start here and kind of read from here and think about this situation. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all thy my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Do you know this morning, folks, there's things that please us well in the flesh that God has told us don't touch. And so when we go out into life and we experience life and all the good things God has given us, there are things that please us well. And there are things that we would be pleased well with, but the scriptures that God gave into our life says, don't go there. And so this morning, I just want to talk to us a little bit about our flesh. Do you know, why did Samson say, she pleaseth me well, get her for me? And you know what? That very way in his life, she wasn't the only one. Then there was another one, and then there was another one. And there was at least three. I didn't look through it all to see how many. But you know, Samson made a habit of that, didn't he? He knew the scriptures. Moses had said, don't do that. Don't let your sons marry their daughters and don't let their sons marry your daughter. He made that very clear. And Samson went and transgressed that. And he was a judge in Israel. And the Spirit of the Lord was on him. Why did Samson do that? Because his flesh. Because she pleased him well. Well, you know, he could have said, I won't be pleased with anything except what God gives me. That's all I'll be pleased with. This morning, folks, I want to encourage us that we be pleased with what God pleases to be pleased with. And that it stop right there. Whatever God is pleased with, I will be pleased with. And what he's not pleased with, I won't touch. Wouldn't Samson have been better off? Do we know the end of the story of Samson? How many here has heard the story of Samson? You know, it doesn't stop here, does it? It goes on. And his very sin caused him to have his eyes put out, didn't it? And he lost his vision. He couldn't see the very things that we enjoy today. I'm looking at, I see in color. All these things, God made the eye amazing, didn't he? And we can see all the color. We can see the little differences in the fabric out there on the seats. It's beautiful, isn't it, to see the things God allows us to see. But you know, when we use these things to displease the Lord, folks, it really causes us trouble. And in the end, it cost Samson his life, his physical life. It cost him in the end because it pleased him well. She pleased him well, and Samson was willing to transgress the Lord's commandment. And so this morning, I want to encourage us, folks, God has made the desires of our flesh. Don't we know that he gave us the desire to see beautiful things? The Lord gave us many good desires, but man has sought out many inventions. And it is up to you and me to, like Paul, say, let's look at that again here. 1 Corinthians 9. As Paul said here, I bring it into subjection. I keep under my body. I keep my body under. I beat it up. I bring it under as a slave. You know what that means? I bring my passions. I bring my thoughts. I bring my senses under the direction of the Lord. Now, folks, we can think that we don't need to worry about. We need to worry about this, don't we? The things that we let ourselves out to, let's make sure they're things that God is highly pleased with. Those things will bless us. But when we allow ourselves to be drawn out to things that don't please the Lord, the end of those things, folks, is death if we allow them to work in our life. And so as we examine our senses and work with the Lord, let's let him work with us. You know, I thought about the idea, and I know this is true, the devil is our enemy, isn't he? He's our chief enemy. But I will tell you something, the devil has his entrance through the flesh, doesn't he? That's the door. And so we open the door to him. He can't come and just attack one of God's people. He can't draw you back into sin. He can't cast your life down. We allow the door of our flesh to allow him entrance into areas that cause pride, or that cause bitterness, or that cause lust, or that cause so many things. We have to purposely shut the doors on those things, don't we, this morning? And so I know this is a pretty simple little message, but I want to encourage us today to take upon us the responsibility we have to govern this flesh. That's something that takes God to help us with, doesn't it? And so we find people that they want to smell stuff and sniff stuff and take stuff and all these things. And before they know it, they're addicts. And then they hate it. Don't you know Samson hated himself for what he did after a while? Folks, that's the way the flesh is. It's so sweet to start with. Samson, oh, this was sweet. She pleaseth me well. You know what? But after a while, she didn't please him well anymore, did she? In fact, she traitored him. She betrayed him. And it ended up costing her and her father their life. And there was a lot of dread and treachery and turmoil in all of this. But you know, that's what it is when we begin to let the flesh go unrestricted. Do you know that our eyes are made to see good things? I want to encourage us to keep our eyes that way. If you do, it will be on purpose. It will be on purpose. But God made us to do that and to be able to do that. And it's wholesome. And all the things that are good and holy and wholesome, trust that's built within a family or within a relationship of husband and wife. You know what? There's a trust that is built there by constantly years of being faithful. And I want to encourage us. Let's set that pattern in our homes. Let's set that pattern, because trust is broken very easily. And it's built over a long, long period of time. So the Lord help us this morning that we recognize the strength of our senses that we have, that we bring them into subjection. As Paul said, I keep under my body, he said, and bring it into subjection. And listen to what the last of this scripture says. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And Paul recognized all he had to do was let up. All he had to do was not bring it into subjection. And he would land up being a castaway. Land up losing his eternal reward. So this morning, I value highly the wonderful things God has given to us. And I revel in those things. I thank God for those blessings that he has given. Why did God make us so as he did? I'm amazed at his artwork. He could have made the world in black and white. He could have made the world just a little bit of what we have around us. But he didn't. He made it vast. And he made the heavens and all those things. And folks, he made us to be a part of his beautiful handiwork. Let's see that and submit those things to the Lord and let him use them. Now let's move up a little bit to verse 24 in this chapter. And Paul begins to tell a little more about how this is activated, how this happens. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Do we get the picture? People in a race, they're running, they're giving it all they have, and all of them are running to win. All of them are running for the prize. And he says here, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Run like that. Let's give it what we've got. Let's give it everything we have. We've got to make it to heaven. The hitches that come along in life and would stop us and would trouble us and would confuse us, we've got to run past them, because our goal is on heaven. The things that would trip us in the flesh, We've got to shut our eyes to him. We've got to give ourselves a black eye if need be and bring ourselves under. That's the idea here. Do what we have to do to bring ourselves under to the Lord. The Lord wants us to do that this morning. And he says, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. He's temperate in all things. Everything. Do you know that the flesh has to be brought under on every hand? Now, it's not that we don't get to enjoy anything, because I believe that in the long run we enjoy more than those that let themselves out to the flesh. Because in the end, it brings greater peace, greater blessing, greater enjoyment than the flesh could ever give us in its best. And so he says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Let's see. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Do you have your eyes on an incorruptible crown? I want to ask you that this morning. I'd like you to answer yourself. Do you have your eyes this morning on heaven and that goal of wearing that crown over there? Folks, that's what's going to get us through. We are running, as Paul says. Now the world says, oh, just believe and have faith and be done. Folks, there's more to it than that. Read the scriptures, and every chapter of the Bible will bear out the facts. We have a part to play in this. And so he says here, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. They take care, don't they? Have you ever read a story of someone that went to the Olympics? I have. And it's been a long time, but I remember just, it formed an indelible place in my mind, the what they went through to get there. But they so wanted to be there that it was just part of their life. It was just part of, well, you know what, folks? If we just want the things of this life, it's all going to be, all that kind of work, all that kind of exercise and everything, that would be useless. It would be useless to me to get up in the morning and exercise all day long every day. I wouldn't have any fun. I wouldn't like that at all. But I'll tell you what, I want to go to heaven real bad. And so I want to bring myself under. And I want to give myself to the things of God. Now, I know this could be run in the ground and taken wrong, but folks, the Lord wants us to put forth a real effort. He wants us to bring ourselves into subjection, and he wants us to bring ourselves into subjection to the will of God. Allow the Lord into our life. Lord, what is your will? Because that's how I'm going to get to heaven, is in your will. I therefore so run. Now, he talks about running. And then he talks about striving, and then he talks again, I therefore so run, not as in certainly fight I, so fight I, and then he changes to fighting. What he's talking about is the Olympic Games. What he's talking about is relating it to the way they do in our life. And so he says, suddenly changing the metaphor, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I don't beat the air. I've been practicing to hit where it counts. I've been working at it. I've been building my muscles for it. You know, folks, I hope this is all right to say publicly. Sister Nelda told us that just to keep herself tough, she would take cold showers. Okay? Folks, you know what? That's not a necessary thing to do, is it? But you know what? She wanted to keep herself. She wanted to keep her body under subjection. I don't know all, but I know the way she lived. And it was with one eye and one purpose. And that was to do God's will. I experienced that with her. We walked together in the Lord. And I loved that. And now Sister Nelda has gone on to her reward. But you know, this morning, I believe that she found some secrets to living for God. And one of them was, I don't let this flesh just run. I don't let it just have its way. And just anything that pleases me, that's what I do. Folks, that's a bad way to go. It's a very dangerous way to go this morning. Anything that pleases us. My body, my flesh, my desires, my hopes, my physical needs, what we say, my emotions. You know, all these things have to be brought under. You know, the scripture tells us, what's it say about anger? Be angry and sin not. That means, I believe that means, when that emotion begins to come, folks, we got to start fighting. And who are we fighting? Not with the one we're angry at, we're fighting with ourselves. Have you ever prayed when you start feeling anger? I'm not a person that's just naturally an angry person, but I've been angry before. And you know what? I start praying, Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me here, Lord. Help me not to say something I shouldn't say or do something I shouldn't do. You know what, folks? We live in the body, don't we? And we have to bring it under subjection. And so when we feel those kind of emotions, bring it under subjection. You know what the scripture says about anger? It says anger resteth in the bosom of fools. We have to know that. The Lord wants us to know that. Fight it with all that we have. Let God give us peace for the anger, because that's what He does. He'll come in and He'll give us peace. He'll change our minds. He'll change. Have you ever had the Lord do that? I have. I've needed that at times. I remember one time, and I've told this before, but praying. I prayed till way up in the morning. And I don't know, it was like 2 o'clock or something. 2:30, somewhere along in there. And you know what? I was just praying against my Lord, you got to change me. You got to help me. This feeling I'm feeling inside isn't right. You got to help me here. And you know what? Along about that time, after a good long while fighting, wrestling, knowing I can't let this take over me, I can't let this happen, I can't let the disappointment, the anger that I feel about what happened, I can't let it do that to me. And you know, the Lord began to visit. And He began to visit me. And He told me, He said, I want you to stand like a rock in the billows. Because I was being challenged about some things that I knew. I knew what I had done. And I knew how I had reacted. And the Lord said, I just want you to stand like a rock in the billows. The Lord spoke that to me. And I want to tell you something. I went back and I faced that person. And I faced those situations with peace. I wasn't struggling. I don't know if I was struggling at all. But you know what? In the end, we won our enemy. It wasn't an enemy, really. But we won that one. You know what? That only comes through the Lord. But it comes through a crucifixion of our flesh. Because, folks, we would not be pretty people without the Lord. We'd be just like all the people that war and have their troubles and their prides and their loves and their lusts and their angers and their wickedness. We'd be those people too, but for the Lord helping us. And so the Lord help us this morning that we allow Him that place in our life that we can resist and deny the flesh and deny it its place. You know, Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, this is Matthew 8:34, part of it. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus taught a very, very plainly that we have to deny ourselves. And folks, we're not born that way. We're born that everything's mine and everything I want, I want. And we holler for it. That's what we do when we're babies. We yell for it. We cry for it. We scream for it. And then we get taught, you don't do that. But you know what? The Lord wants to help us to go beyond those things this morning. And the good of that is, that we can have the good of the land. This is not, I'm not preaching, and I hope we understand that. I think most of us do. I'm not preaching a life of going to some monastery and hiding out or something like that. But folks, we do have to fight in this life and overcome. We do have to bring our bodies into subjection, our desires into subjection. The things that we would desire, we have to bring it into God's subjection this morning. And I believe the Lord will do that for us and does. Thank the Lord this morning. You know, over in James, I've questioned whether this scripture was pertinent this morning. It is, I know. But I don't want us to just think of this as a matter of sin. The first step, many times, folks, is just a giving to the flesh. Those things are not good for our spiritual life. And I'm preaching to myself this morning. James 1 and 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." You know, that is a blessing, isn't it? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. We have to be willing to endure some things. Whether that's anger, whether that's something we're drawn out to, we have to cut things off, don't we? We have to endure some things. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust," or we could put in there his own strong desires, his own inordinate desires. And he allows those desires to build. And he doesn't cut off the lifeblood of those desires. That's what we have to do as people. Cut the lifeblood off to it. Cut off the supply lines and starve it. "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived," and we decide that's what we want, folks, "it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And how great, I say, is that death." You know, in the second and third and fourth verse of that chapter, this is talking about perhaps a different kind of temptation, and it will include all those, I'm sure. But it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or various temptations, various troubles of life, various things that challenge us and bring us trouble." He says here, "Count it all joy, knowing this." You know, troubles and problems come to us. Folks, we just want out of them, don't we? But James tells us here, he says, "Know this, and we know that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." There is a work that is done through the troubles, trials, and tribulations of life that do a good work in our soul that nothing else can do. And we want out of it. We always want out of it. And yet the Lord sometimes allows it. It's for our benefit, folks. It'll get us to heaven. It'll give us patience to keep going on when we don't feel like it. It'll teach us that kind of patience this morning. I was thinking about the idea, and I've heard this said. I said this to a person one time about bringing the things that we, I don't remember how this was said, bringing these, the desires of our life, not just going out after everything that we want to do, and that we bring that all under control or whatever. And this person was like, they didn't understand that. They truly did not understand that concept. And they were just like, Why would you not just want to do what you want to do? Why not just do what you want to do? Well, I want to tell you why. Because man has made many inventions. That's why. And those things draw people away from God. And in the end is eternal death. That's why. And so we bring these things under the control of the Spirit of the Lord and allow Him to work in our life. The Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 7 and 31, they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Folks, we can't say this enough times because this is where we live. We face it every day. This is part of the meat and potatoes that we need to constantly hear a little of along very often. That that using this world, we don't abuse it. That we don't use it to the full. That we use it to glorify God. And folks, when we do that, we'll have those good things that we really long for in life. I believe that this morning. It is God that gives those good things. It is God that gives peace. It is God that gives trust. It is God that gives life. And so if we mistakenly think that we should just go out after whatever we desire, and we hear it on every hand in the world sometimes, and you hear it at graduations, and just go as far as you can, and so just fulfill your dreams. Well, you know what? Dreams are wonderful, aren't they? They really are when they're submitted to God. I will tell you, do the kind of work that you like. You know what? This may sound strange to you this morning. I hope you can do the work that you like. But there's a lot of people doing work to supply food for their families that they don't like what they do every single day. And a lot of what they do, they don't always like. Do what we have to do. And if you can do what you like, that's fine too. I worked many days doing things that I didn't like. But I will tell you, this morning, you bring that under. And the joys that follow come from doing the right thing and from God's blessing upon our life. Galatians 5, we're about done. Galatians 5 and 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, folks, there's a walk with the Lord. The Scripture before says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. There's just something that we have to contend with to be careful about, don't we? Let's don't bite and devour one another. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a work that the Spirit of God wants to do in indwelling our soul that changes us. And we still have to be careful. And I will tell you how we know that for sure. Adam and Eve, that never knew sin, were tempted. And they fell to it. And folks, I want to encourage us this morning that we allow the Lord those places. One more scripture. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 13 and 14. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Do you know, I have seen many times, and I don't understand it, but I know it is true. I have seen people make provision for their flesh to fulfill the lust of it. Now you say, lust, that's awful. Let's just put strong desires in there, because that's pretty basically what that word means mostly. And so I have seen people make provision in their lives, and in the end, find destruction. Samson is a good example of that. When he went down there and he said, she pleases me well. And he well knew he was making provision that he shouldn't do. He well knew it. He was in leadership there. He knew what the law of Moses said. But he made provision for his flesh. And in the end, it cost him his life. And this morning, I want to encourage us, to recognize the beauty and the value of what God has made and given to us. And He wants us to enjoy those things. And He wants those things to be a blessing to our life through and through. To the very, until we become old. The Lord wants those things to bless our lives. Whatever He's given us in the way of the body. The way of sight. If we have sight, we have a wonderful thing, don't we? If we have those senses, let's enjoy those things that God has given us. And let's bring them under subjection to the will of God. And I want to tell you, if you'll bring those things under subjection to the Lord, you'll find that everything that God made, He's not the only one that says it was very good. Y'all pray for me too, that I'll live to this, that our life will be something the Lord can use, because He can't use anything other than that. Amen.